On Friday, students around the world are set to walk out of school in a coordinated effort to send a message about global warming. Many young people aren't only aware of the dangers posed by climate change, they're also fed up with what they see as an inadequate response from the older generation in power.
Jorge Echevarria. I live in the Bronx and I'm in 11th grade. I mean, the way the world is going, soon we're going to have constant hurricanes, tornadoes, stuff like that. So I feel like if we don't put a stop to it, it's going to eventually end the world.
Hi, my name is Eric Flores. I go to Heritage High School. I'm 17 years old. I know it's messing up the environment, and I know it's going to lead to the world to decay faster.
You might remember that back in October, the United Nations released a report predicting that humans have just 12 years to slow global temperature rise and prevent catastrophe. And young people are the ones who are going to have to live through it. The Takeaway spoke with New York City students to hear how they're thinking about climate change.
I'm Mary. I go to school at Our Lady of Pompeii School. And I'm 12. Or 13. 13. 13.
Hi, I'm Maria, and I go to Our Lady of Pompeii School. I'm 13.
I'm kind of worried that there's going to be a lot less land and oxygen, plants and stuff, and how that we could really get severely hurt because of that. Mm-hmm.
Because it could really affect the Earth and like how our lives could change. And it's all created by us.
Organizers are hoping tomorrow's youth climate strike will be a wake-up call to the leaders in charge, even if many of the protesters are still too young to vote the grown-ups out of office.
If we want to keep the Earth living, if we want to keep the Earth strong, then we have to focus on climate change. And we have to take the measures and the precautions to deal with that.
Hey, it's going to affect you someday, so just be cautious and don't allow yourself to be part of the problem.
But as students across at least 98 countries plan to join the strike, on Tuesday, President Trump tweeted another message questioning the science behind climate change.
Hi, I'm Kayra. I'm 12 years old.
Hi, my name is Sophia. I go to the school Lady of Pompeii, and I'm 12 years old.
Well, the president does really just focus on building the wall, which is honestly not that important because, honestly, we're all people.
I would think that he should take a little bit of focus off of his wall and onto climate change. But, yeah, that's just me.
Instead of building a wall, we should focus on climate change.
I would tell the authority figure that they should really take action and take control over the problems.
Young Americans say they hope that Friday's protests will be a very visible reminder that climate change demands action.
Haven Coleman, I am 12 years old, almost 13. I will be 13 on March 29th.
Haven is one of the founders and co-directors of the U.S. Youth Climate Strike.
I'm really looking for, like, since we have so many locations, like almost all 50 states, I think we're only missing like 3 states, that it'll like be a big turnout so that we can like catch the adults' attention and get adults to actually stop and think and actually act. Climate change is not only just going to affect me and my future, it's going to be affecting everybody and everyone. And every generation after mine.
And she told us why this issue is so important to her.
We've dealt with it. We've grown up with climate change. I always remember hearing about this hurricane, this flood, this drought. Like Colorado, where I live, has been in a 19-year drought. We've grown up on climate change. And so when we hear that we have a chance to stop the worst effects, to stop anything, to do anything, we've taking that opportunity, which is sort of surprising that the adults haven't been taking this opportunity.
The youth-led demonstration will highlight some of the generational tensions that define the threat of climate change. Joining me now is Eric Holthaus, a meteorologist and staff writer at GRIST. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So we know that young people have been involved in climate change efforts in the past, but this strikes me as a new wave. I mean, we've talked about this on The Takeaway, that it even crosses political lines. Is that what you're seeing, and what's driving it?
Yeah, I mean, I trace this back for several years, as you say. You know, this has been going on, young people really at the forefront of this new wave of climate action, going back to the Giuliana court case, which was a group of 21 kids that filed a lawsuit against the Obama administration for not doing enough to stop climate change. This was about 3 years ago. That court case hasn't really gone anywhere, and they've since, you know, shifted their target to the Trump administration. But then there was a youth-led march last summer in D.C. called Zero Hour that was led by a woman, Jamie Margolin, 16-year-old girl. And then it just sort of took off. This past summer, a teenager in Sweden, Greta Thunberg, decided that the marches weren't enough, so she was going to go on strike every Friday in front of the center of government in her town. And that just has snowballed since then.
You mentioned Greta Thunberg. She's obviously been getting a lot of attention. She's even met with world leaders. What does that tell us about the movement? I mean, when world leaders start getting involved here, it looks good on the outside, but is there any concern that this is just the optics or this is actually going to lead to some change?
No, this is a really great point that you make. At some point, there needs to be a fine line between making people in power feel uncomfortable and having them listen. So I think this school strike movement so far is towing that line pretty well. You know, she's been very insistent. Whatever's happening right now, the status quo, what governments are doing is just not enough. You know, she is saying consistently, and youth around the world are saying that on the current path, they're going to be growing up without a future. The Secretary General of Amnesty International yesterday released a statement ahead of the strike saying that this is one of the greatest intergenerational human rights violations in history. So the school strike movement, I think, is getting the backing of all of the centers of power in social movements broadly, not just in climate change. I think that's where the difference lies here, is that they're finally making the connection to civil rights and human rights, and not just something nice to do for the environment.
And do you think that'll actually move the needle in terms of policy? Because a few weeks ago, young members of the Sunrise Movement confronted Senator Dianne Feinstein about the Green New Deal. So is the pressure going to be enough to move the needle?
I mean, it has to be at some point. You know, there is a really tough pill that scientists have given humanity, that we only have, you know, roughly a decade or so to make drastic changes in our society, not going beyond cutting fossil fuel emissions, but the social infrastructure that would have to be in place in order to really make those emissions changes feel inevitable is very different than what we have today. This is a new social compact for humanity, really, is what the youth are asking for. And that's the kind of political environment, I think, that would make climate change feel like an, of course, we need to fix this immediately. And so, you know, maybe at this exact moment, it feels like what they're asking for is too much, but what they're asking for is in line with what the science says is necessary. And so therefore, I guess, I mean, my way of thinking about this is, by definition, what they're asking for is appropriate because it's what's necessary.
Eric Holthaus is a meteorologist and staff writer at Grist. Eric, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.